Broadcasting live while eating the greatest almond butter in the greatest city in the greatest state in the greatest country on the second greatest planet in the solar system.
Ew, seriously?
Hold on. Can we please start this over? Start the music over, please. I messed that one up pretty badly. Broadcasting live while eating the greatest almond butter from the greatest city in the greatest state in the greatest country on the second greatest planet in the solar system. It's episode number 22 of Midday with Trey and BK. I am Trey Elling. Today's cast includes the newest member of the team, Zach Burleson. Zach, how do you like being referred to as a member of this team?
I think it's pretty cool.
Great. Thank you very much for joining us again and for taking part all summer long before you head off to SFA. Behind the glass, as always, he is the Greek god of production, Zach with an H, Christo. Zach, you eating any halloumi today? Halloumi cheese?
No halloumi, man. Not today. It's a lot of, I don't know. I can't do carbs. I'm trying to stick away from them. And cheese, man. Sticking to feta.
Yep. Well, at the very least, you should maybe set some halloumi on fire for somebody by the end of the day.
Ooh.
Just to continue to go with the Greek.
That's a tease right there.
Theme. And the one Jew in a sea of Gentiles here at the Horn, the sports radio prodigy himself, Brad Kellner.
Everybody on? Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful.
Most of the people you're dealing with are hammered, so you kind of want to be on their level.
No yelling on the bus!
What up, PK?
Dude, before the show, I didn't know what was going on. Because pretty much as the legal ID is firing off, which means we're about 15-20 seconds till go time, we see you get up out your chair, open the door, and run. I mean sprint somewhere. And I figured you were getting an important phone call, you just got like a big text message, somebody in the other room in the sales department was supposed to come on the show, something was supposed to go on.
I thought that he maybe had another Juiceland smoothie day and he had to run maybe to the bathroom real quick.
Something like that. You had to tell Zach something behind the glass. I don't know what was going on. You sprint. All of a sudden, the door opens pretty much as the show is starting, and you walk in with what I guess is almond butter and a chocolate bar from the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
Why? What are you doing?
I had to address my blood sugar level to make sure that it didn't drop too low during the show, and then I would end up with low energy, and that would have an adverse effect on you, on Zach, on other Zach. Speaking of, we have a producer Zach now, an intern Zach. We do need a texter Zach, so if your name is Zach out there and you don't regularly participate, or if you do and we don't realize your name is Zach, please let us know that, and we'll make sure to mark you as Texter Zach in our system.
Don't change the subject. Why are you so old? You're only 39. You don't need to be talking about your blood sugar or anything.
I'm a man! I'm 40!
You don't have, like, diabetes or anything, right? Like, you're okay?
No, I'm in touch with my body, though. I know what I need to function at maximum capacity, and I know that as somebody who intermittent fasts regularly, it requires me to really start eating at about this time to where by 1 o'clock I'm not dragging. Because otherwise I would be waiting to eat my first meal of the day until 1 o'clock.
Dude, you got intern Zach sitting right next to you. You could have waited till the first commercial break. Like, why was this such an urgent need to get this almond butter by the start of the first segment?
Because sometimes you need to sprint and get the blood pumping as well. And I've started a routine this week where I'm getting up at 6 a.m. and doing this this high intensity interval training. I didn't
Are
do that
serious?
This morning though. No, my mind, it got spun up last night and I could not shut it down. And I didn't end up going to bed until after 1, so my attempt to wake up at 6 a.m. was failure. It meant that I woke up closer to 7 o'clock when the rest of the family was getting up. Huh. So that little sprint right there, that helps out with that. Plus, I got the food in me now, so we're ready to go.
That's not going to do anything for
you. And it's a big show today. We're going to talk with Eric Nahlin coming up at noon. Also, some huge NBA news. We won't get into it just yet. Go ahead and give a preview to the people.
We should hit the breaking news sounder for this, because this did break about...
This is legitimate breaking news.
This is legitimate breaking news. Broke about 10 minutes ago during the best of hour. And we will talk about this more, because we want to get to our first guest. But Chris Paul, I'm not sure if Cliff Paul is going along with him, but Chris Paul has been traded to the Houston Rockets in exchange for Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, Sam Decker, and a 2018 first-round pick. Now, Chris Paul, it was reported that he was going to opt out of his contract with the LA Clippers and become a free agent. Now the move is he's going to opt in, and it is going to be a sign and trade. So the breaking news today in the world of basketball, Chris Paul headed to the Houston Rockets. He reportedly informed the Clippers he was going to sign with them in free agency anyways, so at least the Clippers are getting something back in return. But Chris Paul and James Harden together in H-Town starting next year.
We'll talk about that a little bit more later on, but right now we are pleased to welcome on the Bob Steak and Chop House hotline. He is a lifetime Longhorn. He played from 2009 through 2012, currently in the NFL. Started out with the Arizona Cardinals, but as of now, this offseason, he's a New Orleans Saint. And he's got a football coming up here in a couple of weekends. He is Alex Okafor. Alex, thank you so much for the time today. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you for having me.
Absolutely, Alex. And you can follow Alex on Twitter at AOKAFOR57. As for the football camp, Alex, let me give the details out to the people before I ask you some of the added details as far as your thought process and holding something like this. It is the Alex Okafor Youth Football Camp. It's Saturday, July 8th at Pflugerville High School. Here's the key, folks. It's free. There's a morning session with 4th through 8th graders, an afternoon session with high school kids. All you have to do is go register at campokafor.com. But here's the catch. There are limited spots available for both sessions, so make sure to do that now to receive instruction from not just Alex, but there may be other NFL guys, former teammates of yours, participating as well. Is that right, Alex?
Yes, absolutely. Kenny Vaccaro, also here with the Saints, will be here. Quandre Diggs with the Detroit Lions will be there. And a couple of guys I played with in Arizona, Jonathan Cooper, who's with the Cowboys now, Kareem Martin, who's still with the Cardinals, and Earl Watford, who's with the Jaguars. And I should have a couple more guys coming out. Those are just the confirmed right now.
Oh, man, what a really cool lineup so far. And what was it that made you want to host a football camp like this? I believe this is the first time you're doing such a thing. What is it that that made you want to put this all together?
I'm just basically growing up. I didn't have the opportunity within my community to have to go to a camp of this caliber. Most of the camps I went to, I was either paying big money for or I had to be invited to. So the truth of the matter, for something like this being in the Pflugerville Austin community, is just huge for the kids at this age.
Yeah, Alex, I want to ask you because, of course, you went to Pflugerville High School and you played at UT, of course. And do you still, in the off season, do you still spend your time here in Central Texas? Do you come back here? Do you like to, make your visits out here?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Usually, right after the season, from January through April, I'll go train somewhere. Usually, California, or I'll stay within the home city of where I play. But during June and July, I'm always within the Central Texas area training out there. It's always good to get back.
Alex Okafor joins us right now. He's holding a football camp July 8th, a morning session for the younger kids, 4th through 8th grade, afternoon sessions for the high schoolers. Go to campokafor.com. It's free. You just have to make sure to register before all the spots are filled up. Alex, we had one of your former teammates, Jermichael Finley, on the show a couple weeks ago, and he let us know an interesting piece of information, and that is that his former teammate, David Thomas, really taught him everything that he knew about the tight end position when he came into UT. I'm wondering if there is anybody that served in that capacity for you whenever you got to Texas in 2009, and was it something that you paid back to a younger guy by the end of your UT days?
The biggest influences when I came into Texas were obviously Brian Arakpo, who obviously you know who he is, pro bowler with the Titans right now, and then Sam Macho, man. Those two guys kind of took me under their wing and, you know, kind of groomed me into the player that I am now. And as far as guys that I try to pass it on to, Jeff Coat and Sed Reed, I kind of, you know, tried to transfer my knowledge and give it as much as I could to them.
No doubt. All great players here on the 40 Acres. I want to ask you about your time at UT, Alex. I mean, you were here from 2009 to 2012. Of course, your freshman year was the year Texas went to the national championship game, the unfortunate defeat at the hands of Alabama. I still swear that if Cole McCoy stayed healthy in that game, you guys would have won that one.
No
problem.
Doubt.
But I want to ask you, I mean, you were named two-time All-Big 12. You were an All-American your junior year. You know, what was your favorite memory here while playing at UT?
Man, that was easy. It's easily beating A&M my junior year, man. And it just makes it so much sweeter that we haven't played them since.
Yeah, getting that final win at Kyle Field.
Oh, man, that was beautiful. It was definitely a sight to see.
Do you still remember exactly where you were on the sidelines watching Tucker make that kick?
Oh, yeah, we were all on the sidelines holding hands, man, taking a knee. And once he made it, everybody just ran out on the field. And basically, Justin Tucker knew he was about to get tackled, so he ran away. And then we all just kind of jumped on him.
That is the funny the finale of that entire video. It's Tucker sees how many guys are coming after him. He's just, you know, he's a tough guy for a kicker, but he's still a little kicker after all, and he was about to get dogpiled. I have to imagine that suffering a little bit of claustrophobia at the bottom of that pile, even as big as the moment was.
Oh, no, trust me. He knew it was coming. He knew he was getting every single player on his back.
Very cool. Alex Okafor joining us right now. He's got a football coming up July 8th. Go to campokafor.com. It's free to attend. You just have to make sure to reserve your spot before all 100 spots in each morning and afternoon session are filled up. And Alex mentioned it. He's got a bunch of former teammates, not only ex-Longhorn guys, but also former NFL teammates who are joining us now. And Alex, you have a slew of new teammates at this point. You signed with the New Orleans Saints this offseason. How is that process going for you so far?
Man, it's been a smooth transition. I knew some guys coming in before I signed. Obviously, Kenny Vaccaro, but a couple of the other guys on the team. So it's just made the transition so much smoother. And, I mean, just after the free agency process, I just feel like I'm in the right spot. So, you know, it's my family, and I'm excited.
No doubt. Well, congratulations on that, first and foremost, Alex. That is awesome. And I want to ask you about a couple of guys. Of course, one of the biggest offseason acquisitions in the NFL this year was the Saints' addition of Adrian Peterson. You know, behind you, you were number one, of course, but AP number two. I want to ask you about, you know, meeting him for the first time and what he's like, and also another Central Texas guy, you know, a future Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees. What both of those guys are like in the locker room?
Man, just first of all, they're both professionals, man. They both show up to work every day, and when they're here, they're not just going through the motion. They're actually getting something out of it. So that's the biggest thing. But as far as AP is concerned, man, he's as big, as cut up as you think he is, man. He just looks like a freak at the tailback position, and he's one of those guys who's just happy that he's on your side of the ball. He's on your team. And then as far as Drew's concerned, man, like I said, he's the ultimate pro. Gets here early before everyone every morning. And just to see a guy like that, you know, somebody that's legendary like that, put in that type of work, you can't help but put in work as well, just following his footsteps, sort of.
Alex Okafor joining us right here on The Horn, midday with Trey and BK. Alex, one of our favorite sports websites right now is the Players Tribune, which gives players a voice to either set the record straight for something that has happened in their life or just sound off on various issues. And one of the common questions that they ask guys to really expand on is if they were commissioner of their sports league for the day, what is something that they would do differently? So I'm going to ask you that question right now, Alex. If you were the NFL commissioner for one day, what is one thing that you would change? What is one thing that you would modify about the NFL?
One thing I would change, modify. That's a tough question. I would just take the concussion situation. That's not that it's not getting taken seriously, but I think it took long enough for them to find out the severity of the repercussions of having head injuries. And I think I just wish we would have got on top of this a lot quicker, because it kills me to see some of the side effects and what some of the older guys and players are going through right now.
Yeah, and it seems like there's a little bit of an ebb and flow within the league as well in terms of making rules that that are supposed to protect guys and their heads a little bit better, but then it's almost like they pull back a little bit in the heat of the competition. So do you feel like the league is starting to do what it needs to, though, to ensure that guys are taken care of long term?
Absolutely. We're taking steps in the right direction. And I mean, even though we picked up on this a little late, I mean, you got to look at the league. It's tough. It's a tough situation. You're telling a grown man who's getting paid to play this sport and loves this sport that he can't go back in the game. It's just, that's difficult for a doctor to do. And I've seen it on the sideline. I've seen some doctors get cussed out, coaches get cussed out for not letting guys go back in the game. And, you know, I'm just glad that finally they're standing up and, you know, just making everybody be held accountable for these issues right now.
The sport as a whole is heavy on the contact, of course, but the position you play specifically, Alex, it seems like it's even more so. Have you ever suffered a concussion? And if so, what was that experience like?
No, luckily I've been blessed. I have not had a single concussion in my career. And
wow.
I mean, yeah, that's a blessing. Not many guys can say that. And I mean, I'm just hopefully no more will come. So I'm knocking on wood right now.
Yep, we'll do it. We'll do it for you. Hey, Alex, I want to take you back to your high school days here in Pflugerville, and apparently, you know, from research and seeing interviews with you and everything, you were also a standout soccer and basketball player and played football. So when did you kind of focus solely on football? And do you recommend, you know, it's kind of a big issue always with parents and raising kids over the years, whether or not they should allow their kids to play multiple sports or whether they should try to focus on one sport full time. You know, what was your experience like playing all three of those sports, and, you know, how did it work out for you in the end?
It worked out perfectly. I played soccer up until probably seventh grade, and then I played basketball up until my junior year in high school. And then my senior year, that's when I just solely focused on football because I knew that was the route I wanted to take. But there's no negative effects from playing as many sports as possible. I know some guys try to, you know, if they're a basketball and football player, they take the basketball season off so that they can get in the weight room. To be honest, you're at the age where your body's developing at a rapid speed. So being in the weight room 24/7 may not necessarily be the best thing for you. So, I mean, you just want to, you know, balance out the sports as much as possible and just see what you're good at.
Alex, I want to ask you this. Another, you know, kind of popular debate and topic in the world of football, and your new teammate Drew Brees has kind of been vocal about this, saying he probably won't let his sons play football because of the potential concussions and long-term injury effects and health effects there. So same question to you. I mean, you know, if I'm not mistaken, you don't have any kids as of right now. I want to make sure I've got that out right.
No kids.
All right, so if you do have a son in the future, Alex, you know, would you be open or against him potentially playing football like you did?
No, I'd definitely be open. Probably not at a young age. I'd probably start him up in middle school just because I don't want all that wear and tear on his body at such a young age. But, I mean, who would I tell my son not to play football? I love the game. The game has been great to me, and I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't, you know, let the game bless my kids.
And one of the keys for people who continue to allow their kids to play football is making sure they're receiving proper instruction, especially at the younger ages, in terms of not just playing the game in a respectful way, but also with how to tackle properly to keep guys from putting themselves in harmful positions. And I imagine that your football camp in a couple weekends, that's going to be one of the big stressors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Especially when kids get into this Pop Warner and Little League football, they can develop bad habits at a young age, and it can carry on all the way up until high school. So we're definitely going to be teaching the right fundamentals, the right way to play the game, and a safe way to play the game, or as safe as possible to play the game at our camp in 2 weeks.
Yeah, camp is in a little under 2 weeks now. It's July 8th at Pflugerville High School. It is free to attend. You just have to go to campokafor.com to sign up. Limited spots available, so make sure you do that right now. Morning session is 4th through 8th graders. Afternoon session is for high school kids. It's a great opportunity to be instructed by current NFL players and guys who are at the top of their profession as well. So make sure to check that out. And Alex, getting back to the University of Texas side of things, of course, it's been a little bit of futility these last 3 years. Last 2 years, Texas hasn't been to a bowl game. Coaching change is made in the offseason. What are your impressions so far in terms of what Tom Herman and company have been able to come in and do?
Man, I've seen and heard nothing but good things from Coach Herman and the coaching staff. It seems like all the players are buying in, and that's the most important part. You got to believe to be able to win games at the college level, and it seems like they got the kids believing in themselves. So hopefully that'll be the first step. And I mean, everywhere that Tom Herman has been, he's been successful. So I already know he's going to carry it over here.
Now, you haven't had a chance to meet Coach Herman just yet. I know you'll be back this weekend for the full week until the football camp. Are you going to try and get over to the facilities while you're here?
Yeah, absolutely. Coach Oscar Giles, who coached me while I was in school, he came back with Herman. So I'm definitely going to go see him and see if he can, you know, introduce me to Coach Herman and just get a few words with him just to, you know, pick his brain a little bit.
Cool. No doubt about it. Hopefully he takes some advice from you back when this program was winning a little bit, Alex. Hey, I want to ask you about number one, Mac Brown. I mean, of course, your coach all 4 years at Texas. Do you guys still keep in touch? And, you know, what's your relationship like with Coach Beck?
Yeah, he's, I mean, you always see Coach Brown randomly on campus. So every time in the offseason when I come up, I might, you know, just happen to run into him. But, I mean, it's like we pick up right where we left off, man. Coach Brown, he's a great guy, and he just makes you feel like you're still playing for him, man. He makes you feel like a son for him. And, you know, you hear it all the time. He's just a great individual. And I have lots of love for him.
No doubt. And I want to ask you about your coach with the Arizona Cardinals in the NFL, Bruce Arians. I've always heard and watched the, not the Hard Knocks, but the Cardinals TV special that you guys were a part of last year. And I've heard Bruce Arians is a little bit hard, a little bit less forgiving, if you will, than Mac Brown. So I want to ask you about Coach Arians and your relationship with him over your 4 years in Arizona.
Right. No, I obviously got love for B.A. as well, just because not only did he draft me, he believed in me and gave me the opportunity to do what I could at this level. But, yeah, he's hard-nosed. He's old school. That's the biggest thing. B.A. is old school, and he doesn't sugarcoat anything. He will let you know how you're performing, and he'll let you know exactly what he needs out of you, or you won't be playing. And, I mean, you got to love it. You got to love the honesty out of him because you know exactly where you stand. And, I mean, at this level, the worst thing that could happen is you be on the sideline not knowing why you're on the sideline. And that will never happen with Coach Aarons. You will know exactly why you're in the game and why you're not in the game. So,
no doubt about it. And I want to ask you about that Arizona Cardinals team. Of course, a couple years ago, y'all went to the NFC Championship game. Some great players on both sides of the ball, but some leaders as well, some older guys, Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald. You know, what's it like sharing a locker room with those dudes? And how fun was it to be on a defense with guys like Calais Campbell and Patrick Peterson and the Honey Badger and all those studs? What was it like to be a part of that Cardinals team over the last few years?
No, it was a great ride, man. It was definitely a great experience. Just for me, just the opportunity to play with so much greatness around me, man. Obviously, Carson Palmer has been doing what he's done for so long, but Fitz, one of the best receivers of all time. And Patrick Peterson, who hasn't missed a Pro Bowl since he got in the league. He's a little bit younger guy, but you know, to not miss a Pro Bowl since you've been in the league, that's greatness within itself. I just kind of had the opportunity to witness this and, see how their minds work and what they put into the game. I'm definitely, soaked it up and taking it with me.
Last thing here for Alex Okafor, football camp coming up in 2 weekends. Go to Okafor, campokafor.com, rather, for more details or to sign your kid up. Alex, you spent your high school days here in Austin, which means you have some flexibility in terms of your sports allegiance. Which NBA team do you root for?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a Mavs fan.
Mavs fan, there okay. I was going to ask
that
if you were. I'm assuming you have a reaction one way or another, though, on the Rockets signing of Chris Paul. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's a good deal for the Rockets. I don't know what the Clippers are doing at this point, but
going back to Clipperland.
Right. That's what I heard. DeAndre Jordan's on the trading block too. But I mean, it's a great move for the Rockets. Anytime you get, an all-time great like Chris Paul on your roster and combine it with Harden, I'm sure they're going to make some noise.
Did you like what the Mavs did in the draft?
Man, I don't know what the Mavs are doing at this point.
they're trying to give Dirk some sort of send off that hopefully doesn't involve them being in last place for his last year or two, right?
Oh man, we haven't been able to get it right since DeAndre Jordan okie doke.
Hey, this is a good day for Mavs fans too, because it looks like DeAndre Jordan's kind of get left in the dust out in L.A.
He's the last guy in the house.
I'll tell you what, we need to swallow our pride and try to reach back out to him.
That's an interesting point right there. You have to figure that Mark Cuban, above all else, is about trying to bring in pieces that could win, and DeAndre could certainly help out with that. Alex, thank you so much for the time today. We're going to continue encouraging people to go to campokafor.com to sign up for your free football camp. It's in Pflugerville High School, July 8th. All sorts of age groups are represented. So thank you so much for putting this on and joining us today to talk about it.
I appreciate it. Thank you, fellas.
There he goes.
Take care, Alex.
The great Alex Okafor. Yeah, back when Texas was pretty good at football, that dude was a beast. So fun to watch. An All-American his junior year, 2-time All-Big 12. He's had a pretty solid career in the NFL, 4 years with Arizona, getting to the NFC Championship 2 years ago, being a big part of that defense, and now with the New Orleans Saints, who are a little bit of a trendy pick. I mean, the question is always defense with them, so obviously getting Alex Okafor, they're hoping could shore up that defense, but they get Adrian Peterson, they've still got Drew Brees. It's a tough division, of course, with the Falcons getting to the Super Bowl last year. The Panthers got there 2 years ago, had a really bad year. Tampa Bay looks to be on the up and up, so the NFC South, which, golly, 3 or 4 years ago, Trey was the laughing stock of the league, now seems to be one of the toughest divisions of football.
How about getting to learn the position when you enter college from two guys who not only are studs in college, but go on to be NFL lifers in Sam Acho and then also Brian Arakpo, and then he pays it back with Cedric Reed, who I love Cedric Reed as a defensive end in his time at Texas. Unfortunately, he suffered an injury that affected his draft stock his senior year, but that guy was really good, and Jeffcoat as well.
Mm-hmm.
They were both quality players for UT, in part thanks to Alex Okafor.
All of those dudes making it to the NFL. So big thanks to Alex for the time. Once again, campokafor.com to sign up for that camp, and appreciate the time. We will have Tinder Time. Our man Zach Z behind the glass will lead us through that. We'll get more reaction to this Houston Rockets trade for Chris Paul, what's next for the Rockets, and what's next for the Clippers, and we'll have some more fun. It is a hump day edition of Midday with Trey and BK. You're listening to The Horn.
Back on midday with Trey and BK.
How's your almond butter, Trey? How you doing over there?
It's good. I'm going to take another dip here in a little bit.
What are you dipping in there?
Hey, speaking of, how did the rest of your day go after you had to drink that kale shake?
Dude, that was so bad. That was horrible.
Stop exaggerating.
I'm not
it
exaggerating.
It wasn't that bad.
Dude, I was over there doing some post-show stuff. My head was hurting. I was starting to sweat, lightheaded, feeling dizzy. I felt like I'd been just taking shots of something, and it just happened to be kale. So immediately, I drove probably faster than I've ever driven towards home and went to Taco Bell. And spent like $10 at Taco Bell and just downed it. Because I knew what I was feeling from the healthy stuff needed to be offset from the nastiness of Taco Bell ingredients. And I made sure I ate a bunch of that stuff. And then over time, just gradually over time, I took a little bit of a nap. And by the time I woke up, we were back to normal. But that kale, that Himalayan sea salt, the celery, the jalapenos, the pineapple
parsley.
Juice, the parsley, the spinach, whatever was in there. Oh, that did me dirty, man.
So we didn't have any Ennis blowouts then?
No, not yet. Huh. What, Tyler Ennis or Dylan Ennis?
No, Ennis like the body part.
Oh, Ennis Cantor.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I know exactly what you're talking about. No, not yet. And the fact that it's combined now with Taco Bell is going to make this an interesting afternoon for sure.
Zach, why don't we play Come On Eileen coming out of the break there?
One Hit Wonder Wednesday.
It is One Hit Wonder Wednesday, which means that we're taking your recommendations either on the Specs text line at 337-3776 or by video blitzing us. That is finding either the video of the One Hit Wonder and tweeting it out with the hashtag video blitz or doing something similar on Facebook, just making sure that it draws our attention because Video Blitz is now a part of this show and
yeah,
this
man.
Radio station.
Or if you want to sing it yourself and just put the hashtag Video Blitz.
That would be the most ideal Video Blitz, is you singing whatever One Hit Wonder song that you would like us to play coming out of a break during One Hit Wonder Wednesday.
I didn't know the words to that song. Like, I know that song. I've
Come
heard
On
it.
Eileen.
I've heard it a million times. I never knew what he was saying.
What is he saying?
Well, apparently he's saying, Come On Eileen. I don't know. Well, not, I should... Come on, comma Eileen, you know? But I don't know what he's saying after that. What is he saying after that? Because I didn't even know those were the words of the song. Come on!
I think that's a whistle. I think that's a yellow card.
It's not
right
my
there.
Song. It's I don't even know who sings that. Who is that? Who sings that?
What is it? Dexy's Midnight Runners? Is that it?
Yeah.
Dexy's
yeah.
Midnight Runners. Yeah, I like that song. I just didn't know what he was saying.
Yeah.
I don't think the words are important. I think that's one of those songs where the words just don't matter at all.
It's cool, man. I like it slows down and speeds up a little bit. I'm really showing my age here, so that's good.
Is that a popular wedding song, too? I feel like I hear that at weddings.
You're asking the wrong guy. You're the one who's 39, man. You've been to way more weddings than I have. Is that a normal wedding routine?
I have a cap on the number of weddings that I'm willing to attend in every five-year span. I've got weird rules about singing happy birthday to people. I've got weird rules about attending weddings for people that I'm not all that close
yeah,
to.
Yeah, what's your deal on that? I've heard the birthday thing, and thankfully you did sing happy birthday to me. It took a while to get me there, but back in March you were nice enough to sing on Shooting the Bull on Wednesday night. You sang it to me.
Well, that was our original degenerate bet that I had to pay off, that if we're still on the air come March, that I would sing happy birthday to you because it's March or April that your birthday.
It's March, uh-huh.
Yeah, so your birthday's in March, so I sang happy birthday on the air for you for that one. But in general, I refuse to sing happy birthday to an individual that isn't a relative. My wife qualifies as this, and my wife gets happy birthday sung to her, my kids. But if I haven't known you for at least 10 years, I don't sing happy birthday to you. I let everybody else sing happy birthday to you. I'll clap at the end. I will act like I'm going to get you a present, even though I don't really believe in giving gifts to people for things like Christmas and birthdays. But I generally do not sing happy birthday to people that I haven't known for at least 10 years. It's the same rule that I have with my male friends and allowing them to put sunscreen lotion on me or vice versa. I have to know you for at least 10 years if that process is going to happen.
Wow. So if you're, okay, how long have you been together with your wife?
My wife and I have been together for almost 7 years now, I believe.
Sounds like a great time. So you have not sang happy birthday to your wife before?
She's an exception. If okay. It's a significant other, then
what
yes,
about the
I'll
sunscreen
do that.
Deal? Like, you obviously were dating for a while before marriage. If she asked you to put sunscreen on by the pool, were you like, no, we haven't been together long enough?
That's
can't
only
do that.
Male friends that I have that
rule.
Oh,
you're gay.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
No, that's why I'm not
that's
gay.
That's the opposite of gay.
That's why I'm not gay.
Yeah, you're clean. That's cool. All right, so what is the wedding deal then? Why are you so... I mean... First of all, PSA, and if you're listening to the station, you should, I feel like you should know this, do not get married in the fall, right? There's 52 weekends of the year. Save the 12 college football weeks, the 16 NFL weeks. Just pick the other 40 weeks or something. Do not get married in the fall. Save your friends. Right? I don't care if you're not a sports fan. Do something for your buddies who do like football and get married at a different time of the year. There's 162 baseball games, 82 basketball and hockey games. There's not enough football games for you to take one of my Saturdays or Sunday by getting married in the fall. All right? So it's a PSA to all my friends out there who are going to be getting married soon. If you do that, we're not friends anymore. Simple as that.
Yeah, Chad Hastings has that rule as well. I tend to agree with him. Unless you are enlisted and about to go off
sure,
for active
exceptions.
And you want to marry the person before you do that, or there is a serious illness in the family, and so somebody that you really want to be there may not be around after football season.
Well, get better.
What?
I'm kidding.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, you know,
that is so freaking insensitive of you.
Come on, Ed. What's the point of getting married if you're about to die, you know? Might as well enjoy the last few months of your life being alone.
You know what? Shoshana Kellner and I are not only Twitter friends, but we're also Facebook friends at this point. I may have to get her on at some point just to talk about how good of a person you actually are.
She
trying to represent you as somebody who's just a total scumbag.
She knows I'm not a good person.
She knows you're a better person than you represent yourself as.
These are honest thoughts I'm giving right now. This isn't a representation. This is real.
Yeah, but you helped out your baby sister when you were like an early teenager and she was just born. You were helping out with the occasional diaper.
My parents were going to kick me out of the house if I didn't. I didn't have a choice there.
Could have locked her in the dog's cage while they were gone.
Well, who's to say I didn't? My parents listen to the show most days, so I gotta be a little bit careful.
Alright, let's hit Tinder time. It is the radio version of the popular dating app Tinder, which, of course, you look at pictures if you're a single person, or if you're not a single person looking to cheat on your other, you scumbag. You decide to swipe right if you like the picture, want to find out more, possibly get in touch. Swipe left if you want nothing to do with that person. The radio version, our great producer Zach reads off sports headlines. Brad and I swipe right if we want to hear more about the story and possibly talk about it, or left if we want nothing to do with that news item. What's up first today, Zach?
All right, guys. Today's first story actually does involve a picture, so I'm sorry to all the radio listeners out there. I found this one, and I think it's hilarious. A Michael Jordan superfan gets a tattoo of the crying LeBron meme right there on his calf.
Dude.
Did you tweet this one out?
I will. I haven't done it yet. I will.
What's your Twitter handle? Because you know I'm not going
to
say it.
Oh, come on. I'm going to force you to say it right
here. Soccer is a sport, even though we all know soccer is not a sport.
I'm not saying that.
I mean,
swipe left. Like, that's ridiculous. The fact that people will... Look, I understand the whole LeBron-Jordan debate. You know, some people think it's a fair debate to have. Some people think it's not a fair debate to have.
Not after this finals, it's not.
Oh, I think any situation where there are some people on both sides of the equation makes it a fair debate. There are plenty of people out there, a minority, a strong minority for sure, but there are people out there, including people in this line of work, guys like Colin Cowherd, who believe that LeBron James is the best basketball player who ever lived. So I do think that is a fair sports debate. You and I are both on Team Jordan there. That's fine.
It's not even a fair debate anymore after this last finals.
He's 32 years old.
He got knocked down a notch based on his overall performance.
Averaging a triple-double. The first player in finals history to average a triple-double.
His terrible leadership. Yeah, guess what? That goes to show that stats aren't the end-all. Russell Westbrook proved that by... How many triple-doubles did he acquire during the regular season? He got the regular season MVP award. What did that mean for his team? LeBron is supposed to be the leader of that team. He was a terrible leader in the finals.
Dude, that team, they played
Michael Jordan was so much better. He transcended his team in years where maybe you weren't totally certain if they were going to dominate. Michael Jordan did that. LeBron James was the opposite of that. And quite frankly, they should have lost the previous year, too, if Draymond Green hadn't been stupid and gotten himself suspended.
Well, I don't know how you can use that as arguments against LeBron James for Draymond kicking dudes in the gonads. That doesn't make sense. But anyway,
I'm saying that he's the leader of that team. And in all fairness, like, if you look at things squared up, that Cleveland team should not have won it last year. They won it because Draymond Green got himself suspended. You're right. That is a part of the overall equation. But LeBron James has lost a lot more on the big stage than guys that he's being compared to. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, so you don't even think he's number two? You don't even think he's the second best player ever?
No.
You don't even think he's in the discussion?
No.
All right. Well, he's got like seven years left in the NBA.
He's middling someplace around 5 to 10.
That is unbelievable. All right. So the point is, what I was getting at is that's a debate we can have any day of the year. I find it funny that people think there's like a rivalry between those two dudes. Like, LeBron has the utmost respect for Michael Jordan, is always thankful and you know, acts humble whenever anybody even mentions his name in the conversation with MJ. And MJ, you know, whatever. MJ is fine. He respects LeBron. He understands LeBron. I think it's hilarious that the fans, who are as opinionated as you, Trey, you're not going to get a tattoo, but are so passionate about this debate that they think if you like one of those guys, you have to automatically hate the other guy. That's ridiculous. Don't be getting stupid tattoos like that. Those don't go away.
Yeah, well, stupid tattoos, there's a potential bet for us in the future, although
nope.
I refuse to ever get a tattoo, so I won't agree to those terms.
That's against the religion, man. We're not playing those cards, brother.
All right, what's up next, Zach?
All right, guys, and just so you know, it is out on Twitter. You can follow me at @soccerisasport. All right, guys, next up, it is a sport. All right, Tom Brady finishes first in the top 100 players poll. Do you guys care about the players poll? Does anyone care about the players poll?
I care about as much as I do the NBA award show, which is not at all.
Look, it's just it's football, knowing that it's football, so anytime it's talked about, people are going to be excited about it, but it's just killing time until training camp starts, until the season begins. People hate this year after year. There's no doubt in my mind Tom Brady is still the best player in the NFL going into his age 40 season. But no, I don't. I think I'm on the same boat as you, Trey. I couldn't care less about this deal.
It's hard to argue that the quarterback of the team that just won the Super Bowl again, in the way that they did, and Tom Brady is as instrumental as Bill Belichick in New England's success
over the last decade plus. Where's your Brady on the GOAT scale then? Since you're clearly anti-LeBron, but in terms of greatest quarterback of all time, where does Tom Brady fit now? He's got the 5 Super Bowls, which is the most ever. Is he number one?
I accept the argument. I don't accept the argument LeBron is even close to number one, but I accept the argument that Tom Brady is.
Right.
There are other guys that can be thrown into that discussion for sure, but sure, Tom Brady belongs in that, yes.
All right, Zach, we got any more, sir?
That's it. Now, I just want to add this in there. J.J. Watt even called his own poll a joke.
We covered that on Tweets of the Week a couple weeks ago, and that's coming up next, so I'm glad you brought that up, because J.J. Watt is right. He played, 3 games last year. You can't rank him one of the top 100 players when he really hasn't played meaningful football in more than a year.
Yeah, I don't know what that is based off of. I mean, obviously, J.J. Watt, 3-time defensive player of the year? He's a top 10 player of the NFL, no question about it. But when you take a year off, I don't know how you kind of judge that in terms of the poll. That's a whole other element.
With a back injury, too, that's something that, although you can get surgery on those things and rehab them, they don't tend to go away. And back injuries, that's something that can be career-ending if it's the wrong kind of injury, much less for a guy that moves around as well as J.J. Watt has throughout his career.
Breaking news, Zach. Big-time news right here.
Oh, no.
The Mavs have traded...
Yogi?
DeAndre Liggins! Not Jordan. To the Rockets for cash considerations.
Who?
DeAndre Liggins. Some scrub.
What in the...
To the Rockets for cash considerations. I just kind of wanted to throw Mavs and DeAndre and see if I could get somebody fooled for like 3 to 5 seconds.
Is that really... Did that really happen?
Yeah, it's a real trade.
Okay.
Yeah, Mark Stein reporting. And Tim McMahon.
You remember when Mark Cuban drafted that like 7'8" Indian cat a couple years ago?
Yeah, Satnam Singh.
Is there any chance that he ever plays an NBA game?
I don't know. I mean,
is that strictly for marketing purposes to try and sell Dallas Mavs gear in India?
Probably. I mean, I think he's been in the D League. Like, he's over here. He's not playing overseas. He's over here.
Okay, all right.
And, he's 7'2", not quite 7'8".
He looks 7'8" when you watch him running up and down the Indian basketball league.
Salah Mejri is enough, for me. All right, that's enough. That's enough. But, no, he hasn't been to the NBA yet. We'll see what happens. All right. There's a Tinder time. Tweets of the Week, as Trey mentioned, is coming up next, and we'll have some fun on the other side. A reminder, Eric Nolan of Inside Texas will join us. Justin Wells on a flight, but we will get you your Texas football and Texas recruiting fix a little after noon. You're listening to Midday with Trey and BK right here on the Horn.
That's a fascinating conversation right there. One-hit wonder.
Who is this?
One-hit wonder Wednesdays continues. Thanks to Chris Bennett for the suggestion here. This is the 69 Boys. That's spelled with a Z.
69 Boys?
The song is called Daisy Dukes. We're accepting your video blitz recommendations for one-hit wonder songs that we play on Wednesdays. Just tweet it out with the hashtag video blitz. Just take a quick phone video of a one-hit wonder song that you really enjoy, and we'll maybe try and play it by the end of the show.
The 69 Boys with the Z.
With a Z.
What is it, a group of 12-year-olds? I mean, that's hilarious.
You remember the 69 Boys, Brad?
No, I don't. I'm just saying, like, that's the most ridiculous name ever. The fact that they try to put that on a song kind of sets them up to be a one-hit wonder, doesn't it?
I feel like that was an early to mid-90s rap song that was a very popular summertime
putting
hit.
Putting the Z on it. That's, instead of an S, that is great.
It's like putting the X on it instead of the KS.
Oh, yeah. Rocks. Something rocks. R-O-X or sucks. S-U-X.
Yep.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, we will talk to Eric Nolan on the other side of the break. Reminder, we were talking about the kale smoothie I had to drink yesterday. If you missed it, it is on our Facebook page at 1049 The Horn. It was disgusting. Had to run over to Taco Bell immediately after and wash it out with some great T-Bell.
And your anus hasn't paid for it yet. I'm expecting that to happen sometime today.
Anus cancer's not going to be good. By the way, the double chalupa at Taco Bell is delicious. Highly recommend. It's the new commercial thing that they're advertising. It is phenomenal.
Is that going to be one of the items I get to eat in a couple weeks?
If it's still there, it just might be.
Okay.
It's good. I got a couple of beefy Fritos burritos, a couple of cheesy bean and rice burritos, and we're all back to normal. But the kale smoothie part is only half of the payout. So a reminder, we're going to put this on Facebook Live at about 12:30 or so. The second part of the bet payout where my man Trey, I should stop playing with things, my man Trey and my man Zach C behind the glass will get three pegs of a tennis ball at me from about, I don't know, 5 to 10 feet away. They'll get three chances to hit me once with a tennis ball. What's the name of the game? What's it called?
Butts up.
Butts up.
You have to be spread eagle, palms facing the wall, facing away from us. And I'll be perfectly honest. My goal is to bounce that ball in to hit you in the gonads.
You only get one hit, reminder. So if you bounce it and it hits me in the upper leg, you're done.
No.
Stop changing the rules.
Great. It's not
you
changing
can't get
the
extra
rules.
Kale in the smoothie. You get a triple XL.
It's a flush hit. It's a flush hit.
One hit.
It's a flush hit.
One hit. I decide if it's flush or not. You get one hit.
We'll know if you're grabbing your nads after I bounce that ball in.
I can't hold them up.
It's going to be on Facebook Live, so make sure to check that out.
Great. See ya, kids. Good thing I don't want to have them anyways.
One other thing to remind people of tomorrow is our summer movie series where we review some of the great sports films of all time because my 23-year-old co-host has not seen far too many classic sports films, and tomorrow it is Tin Cup. It's another Ron Shelton film. The guy is just really good at making sports movies, so do make sure to check that out. Brad is going to find a link where you can watch the movie for free online. We're not going to tweet it out necessarily to avoid the danger that could come with that. However, if you would like that link, feel free to text in to us on the Specs text line 337-3776. We'll send you that link. You can watch the movie, share your thoughts on the classic golf film Tin Cup, which along with Caddyshack, those are the two greatest golf movies of all time.
Really? You think so? Yeah. Okay, I'm excited.
Have you seen Caddyshack?
I have seen Caddyshack. Okay. Caddyshack is phenomenal. I mean, Happy Gilmore is my childhood movie, and it's a religious rite of passage because it's Adam Sandler. So that right there is my number one golf movie of all time. But Caddyshack is phenomenal, 100%.
All right, Wednesdays at 11:50 means that we share our tweets of the week. We don't have a nifty sounder for it just yet. But BK, what do you got up first for your tweets of the week?
All right, so we'll get to some of these NBA draft tweets in a second. I love these old tweets. So these are NBA draft picks who, of course, were drafted last Thursday night in the NBA draft, sure enough, and some tweets they had from way back in the day. But a really good one I like, this is from Robbie Fox of Barstool Sports. He's got a blue check, so you know it's real. This is Jordan Spieth. We played the audio. It was our Dave South Homer call yesterday of Jordan Spieth winning the Travelers Championship with that ridiculous shot out of the bunker to win the first playoff hole. So his celebration was from the bunker. He turned and threw the club towards his caddy. And, of course, they did the chest bump or chest to back bump. I know you hate that kind of stuff, but
It's jumped the shark now that it's popular in golf. It's jumped the shark.
So this is a gif. Because I don't want to tick anybody off, so I'm going to just go ahead and start saying it with four letters now. G-J-I-F. It's the gif of Jordan Spieth throwing his club and starting to run towards his caddy, Michael Greller. And the tweet says, "Wow, disgusting display. Spieth blames caddy for mischief, throws his club at him, and charges him. Hope everyone's okay." And I'll retweet that now at Brad Kellner. But obviously a joke, obviously some sarcasm. I thought that was a pretty funny spin on a unique golf celebration. If you look at the gif that's attached to it, it is perfectly done by Robbie Fox.
Even as somebody who wasn't crazy about the end of that celebration there with Jordan trying to chest bump and he just bumps into the backside of his caddy, I did have to appreciate that one as well. This is from a little bit more than a week ago now, but it's still quality nonetheless. Jake Butt, former Michigan tight end, was drafted by the Denver Broncos a couple months ago. He wanted to tweet out a Happy Father's Day for his dad, Papa Butt. And he says, "Happy Father's Day, Dad. Thank you for teaching me at a young age that Charmin is number one when it comes to number two."
Oh, nice.
The Butt family.
He's sponsored by Charmin. Do you know that?
I figured as much, but I also have to say that as Somebody who is snobbish about a lot of things, that includes toilet paper, Charmin's the go-to brand.
Charmin's your go-to.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Do you have yours?
I'm on the, right now I'm on the Angel Soft train.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Quilted Northern. Oh, I apologize, wow. Quilted Northern.
Come on, man.
I'm not Charmin. I'm Quilted Northern. Oh, I apologize for cheating on you for a second there, Quilted Northern.
Yeah, I've been rocking the Angel Soft, you know.
Angel Soft, okay.
Yeah, it's been good to me.
That's a little bit too soft for me. It tears a little bit too easily.
I'm going to need it for the kale,
Kale jalapeno,
Taco Bell combo,
yeah.
Which is coming a little bit later.
Yes,
so.
You are.
Interesting. Yeah, with 69 boys and butt jokes make it in the same segment. That's interesting stuff.
Quality
right
segment.
All right, so this is NBA tweets, old tweets from 2017 NBA draft picks. Mentioned this on Friday after the draft, but a great tweet from Dennis Smith Jr., the ninth overall pick to the Dallas Mavericks, tweeted out back in 2012, which, mind you, he was 14 years old when he tweeted this. November 5th at 8:01 p.m., everybody has God-given talents. Mine just so happens to be slinging this wood in my pants. Now, he has deleted that since being drafted, which is unfortunate. Now, if you recall, Mitch Trubisky, I'm not calling him Mitchell, it's Mitch. You don't just add three letters to your name for some reason when you go pro. It's supposed to be the opposite, right? You're supposed to go from Mitchell to Mitch.
Sure you do.
Not Mitch to Mitchell.
No, you can go either.
Doesn't Mitch sound like a little bit more, like you're older, a little bit more mature? It's, Mitch versus Mitchell? I mean, obviously choose whatever you want, but that's a little weird to me.
You're
no?
saying Mitchell is more, is,
I'm saying
more
Mitch,
grown up.
Mitch is.
No, Mitchell's more grown up.
Okay.
Going with the full name, like if I were to stop calling you Brad and start to call you Bradley.
Is that more grown up? Bradley?
Bradley is much more grown up. Is that your real name?
It is.
Okay. Uh-huh. What's your middle name?
I don't have one.
Josiah?
I'm kidding. It's Josiah. What is that? Is that a Jewish? Are you going Jewish?
I don't know.
Moses?
Just thinking of a Bible name.
Bradley, Moses, Abraham.
Noah?
No, it's yeah. No, it's Ross. Bradley Ross Kellner.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
That's a strong name.
Yeah.
I expect nothing less from Shoshana and Mr. Kellner.
No doubt. So Mitch Trubisky, and I can't say one of these words, but back in 2011, so he was around the same age, said, I love to kiss, and let's just call it boobies, but it's the titmouse version of it. There you go, I guess. I don't know if you could say that, but we'll take it. So he tweeted that one out, and I think that's great. So which of those two do you prefer, the slinging wood in your pants or loving to kiss those mouses that you were talking about?
Do I have to pick?
Yeah, you got to pick, man. Old tweet.
I'm not a huge fan of either of those.
All right. Yeah,
I mean, I am
a
cusser.
If the 69 boys tweeted it out, it'd be a little cooler, I guess.
It was back in the day when I was listening to that song and buying the entire album by the 69 boys, I probably would have been more partial to Mitchell Trubisky's tweet.
Well played. Last
thing for me, it's from AP Sports. This came in last night. Dallas soaring in AP WNBA power poll.
Yeah! The
climbing
Wings!
To sixth.
Come on!
Sixth? Aren't there only like nine or ten
teams
in that league?
There?
And by the way, when we're talking about soaring in the WNBA, does that just lead to like a fancier layup? What's going on there?
There are 12 teams, so the Dallas Wings are now in the top half of the WNBA.
Soaring to sixth.
Soaring!
They're middle of the pack now? Gosh, how terrible were they before that?
Could you imagine seeing an article like, Houston Texans soar to 15th in the NFL
exactly.
power rankings? Come on, WNBA, you're doing this to yourself. But hey, the Wings have won four in a row. Go Wings, baby.
Is that the Dallas team?
It is the Dallas team.
Uh-huh. Is it
Skylar Diggins is on the team?
Is it WINGZ?
No Z.
Because
no
a lot of those WNBA teams, they abide by the rule that we were just talking about, going X instead of KS. And
they got Lynx. That's okay. The only the LYNX, the Minnesota Lynx.
They go with a lot of singular too. It's much like the MLS. They decide to go with the singular mascot names. I don't quite understand
that.
Liberty,
I think the Chicago Sky. That's your team. Yeah, 3-10. Soaring
Chicago.
To number 12 in the power rankings.
No, I don't have a WNBA
last place.
Team. Don't lump
soaring
me in
to
with
number
that
12.
Group.
All right, those are your tweets of the week. Somehow talking WNBA. I'm not sure how, but we will talk some Texas football on the other side. Give you the latest of recruiting. Eric Nolan from Inside Texas will join the show. And 65 days away or 66, something like that. I don't care. We're getting close to Texas football. Eric Nolan on the other side. This is the Horn.